Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the American Citizens Podcast. My name is Gray, and I'm here with John today. Hello, John.
Hey, Gray. How's life treating you, buddy?
Oh, it's going okay. Same for you, I hope.
Yeah, same for me. I live in North Carolina, for those that may not know, and we are currently just enjoying like five straight days of storms and rain. So, yeah, you know, just life as usual.
Yeah, we had that last week. So we have become the... It's rather amusing that you and I have become the first two members of this podcast to actually meet in person.
Yes.
but that is what happened. Because we have to go back. It's like 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Two weeks. We record this, actually. The first city preseason game. So we have to, because we've had two other games since then. And the Community Shield is this weekend, which we will discuss. But we've had the very first game of preseason was in Chicago. I drove out there.
I flew.
Very long round trip. I'm closer than he is. For those of you who maybe are listening from the UK or wherever you're listening from that don't quite have a firm grip on American geography. It's a long, 4.5 hour drive for me. So long, but not the end of the world. Not feasible for you.
No, that would have been about a 13 hour one way. So
yeah.
We definitely flew into Chicago, it was a good time though. It really was.
Time.
And
our listeners are gonna have to. Because, you know, I don't know how many, like, pro-level soccer games you've been to, but I have not really been to any. And I know that the players, particularly on the Manchester City side in that game against Borussia Dortmund, it was largely populated by an under-23 side, almost completely populated by an under-23 side. And so I know that we did not exactly bear witness to the finest that the Premier League would have had to offer. But, you know, for those of you who attend these games regularly, you're going to have to bear with us because I certainly found it enlightening in a lot of ways. First, Soldier Field is awesome.
Yes.
And I'm loath to say that as a Detroiter whose sports teams have a natural rivalry with all of the city of Chicago, but it's the way it is. And unbeknownst to me, I don't know if you were aware of this when you bought your tickets, but we did not know that they were in the club level with the whole indoor, you know, covered swanky bar setup that we had going there.
Yeah, that was definitely a nice little bonus. Gray and I both ended up getting tickets on the we were basically above the Manchester City supporter side. One half the stadium, the upper levels were just sealed off. So we were on the other side of that for all the listeners. And I honestly thought that I was in the wrong place when I walked in because, yeah, like you said, it was inside, which ended up being a benefit for the game because it started raining. And yeah, I mean, refreshments and nice tables and overall, it was quite the experience.
Yeah, we were not aware. We just thought we were buying fairly nice seats on the 200 level, and it took us like 15 minutes wandering around aimlessly before we finally tracked down an usher who directed us to the right place. And we're like, are you sure?
it was really nice. Now, Gray and Fortune, though, you came in on the day of the game, so you weren't really able to partake in the pre-game.
I didn't really get to do anything. Which, you know, it is the way it is. Originally, I had planned to be there for most of the week. Things changed. Life happens. So on and so forth. But you know, I got, I didn't get my picture with the, they had the Premier League trophy and the Cabell One Cup, or excuse me, it's the Carabao Cup now. But by the time that, like, however many years sponsorship deal is up, I will just have gotten used to saying it, and then they'll change it to something else. But I, you know, I know a lot of people got their pictures. You got your picture because you went to one of the bars where they had an event for the supporter group.
I did. Yes.
I did not do that.
Well, apparently the line at the stadium was crazy.
It was very long. Yes.
Yes.
We got there. I don't remember what time we got there. I think we got there with an hour and a half to spare, so we had plenty of time. But we looked at the line, and at first we didn't realize what the line was for because they had it in a tent. And so we were just like, why are all these people in line for? Like, must be good. So we follow the line because you can stand next to the tent without getting in line. So we follow the line all the way down to see what the heck. And then I saw it, and I'm like, oh, that's actually a good reason to be in line. But me, I was there with my girlfriend. We did not feel like we didn't want to, and I'm not like one of those people who like I want to have a picture with like everything. Would it have been cool? Absolutely, but I didn't feel like standing in line for 45 minutes. So what we did was we just sort of snuck up next to the tent, and while they were waiting for the next, because you could pose between them, while they were waiting for the next person to step up, I just like got like three super up close pictures of them just on their pedestals, and then walked off. Which is nice. the second best thing, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, and here's the thing is about these preseason tours, and we'll talk more about it once we start, kind of doing our game breakdowns. But in my opinion, these are all just about the fans. And because my wife and I, we got in on Thursday midday, so we actually took part in several of the festivities put on by the official Chicago branch. It was awesome meeting those guys. And we actually ran into a bunch of people that we met in Nashville last year. So we have met, there's a group called the Heroes of Waterloo that are based right there in Manchester. There's a couple friends of ours that are actually from Sydney, Australia. And for those listening, if you follow the official Manchester City Twitter account, yes, it is those same two people that they interviewed, Patrick and Tanya from Australia. We met them last year in Nashville, got to see them again. I mean, it's just these events are great because you get to really meet all the city people from all over the world. And, I saw some social media on Twitter, I guess, from fans in England that were bemoaning the fact that City were playing these preseason games in the U.S. instead of being local, which, I mean, to me, I think that's a very backwards mentality. And if you're going to really grow as a soccer brand, you have to go out there. And sure, I mean, the local people would like to just be able to drive 30 minutes to go watch City play a preseason game. But that's not growing new fans. By going to new stadiums and new countries and new places, that's how you really expand your fan base. I mean, that's my take on it. What about you, Gray? Would you agree with that?
Completely. Look, I mean, I know that the city ticket prices are controversial, to say the least. And as someone who does not live anywhere near Manchester and does not go to them, I've refrained from commenting on them because I just don't know enough, and I don't really consider it to be, I don't want to say my business, but it's not something that I can't sit there as a Manchester City fan and be like, ticket prices, you need to deal with it, because I don't I don't know. But what I would say is that without doing exorbitant amounts of travel, we get to see them, maybe once every 2 years, if we're lucky once a year,
Yeah.
Because they don't really come around. And even when we see them, it's, situations like this where it's Riyad Mahrez and 10 kids. Riyad Mahrez, Claudio Bravo, and 9 kids, I suppose. But it's not an opportunity we get. And the reason that the biggest soccer clubs in the world are so big is not because they are so exceptionally popular in their home countries. I mean, Manchester United have a lot of fans, but I would say that there are also a lot of people in England who hate them with everything they have.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to Asia, and it comes down to the Americas, and being a well-known club there. So, and that's, you know, they make a lot of money off these things, I'm sure, even if they're not selling out the games. They make a lot of money. They have a lot of community engagement, as you witnessed. And I understand the point of view that, gosh, it would be nice if they could, like, go to Bury or Oldham or something and play a nice, cute little friendly. And you know, if they could tack that in on the end of their tour, that would be great. You know, nice, cheap. Everybody can go see them. That'd be great. But you also get to see them for 8 months a year, and we playing meaningful games. We do not. Not in person.
Exactly.
So this is... I understand, and I would probably feel the same way if I lived there, honestly. I openly admit that. But at the same time, this was a fantastic experience for me personally, because this is the first time I've ever seen Manchester City play in person in any iteration, even if it's, you know, an awful World Cup summer where there's 3 or 4 senior players involved. That is the first chance I have ever had to actually go see them. And that meant, you know, it meant a lot to me, because it's a big part of my life. And it was really cool to have that opportunity, even if it was just ultimately a very boring, very meaningless, very low quality game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no two ways around that. But at the same time, the experience as a whole was well worth it for me.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree, and I think that the vast majority of City fans at the games would understand that. And you kind of hit it on the head where you said it's a World Cup summer. Everyone knew that going in, and frankly, I think most people were just there to have a good time and really, you know, just kind of see Mahrez. And if you're ready to start talking about the game, Gray, I'm good to go ahead, and we can just jump right into it.
Oh yeah, and we both sat pretty close to the field, so we both had a good view of things, and it taught me, and I already knew this just from like talking to folks who do go to games regularly, but watching a game live, even of that quality, but you know. The players are not necessarily the highest quality, but the tactics and the style, it was all evident, even if it was imperfectly carried out by a lot of guys who aren't going to be involved in the first team at all this year. But you could see that setup, and it is entirely different to watch it live than it is on television. And you really get a sense of the athleticism that is required of the players. Because you see, you know, we got guys flying in with tackles underneath us, and you know, the amount of the physical toll that the strain that puts on your body. You know, you watch it on TV, and you're like, whoa, that's intense tackle. And you watch it live, and it's on another level. Everything, you know, just seeing these things in person, the way the ball is struck, because there was that Mahrez free kick at the end of the first half, which was
City's
best scoring chance of the entire game. That happened, we were sitting basically right near that goal. So we had a great view of that. And you for all the slow motion replays of free kicks like that you see over the course of a season, just watching it in real time as it's swerving and dipping in every direction, it seems like it's going 100 miles an hour, even if it isn't. And the other thing that struck me was when they brought Sané on in the second half. And I know it wasn't because part of it's the feeling of being there and you're kind of getting caught up in everything. And part of it is the level of opposition, and he was far and away better than pretty much every other Manchester City player who was on the field at that point. But it was like watching the fastest man in the world run up and down the field.
Yes,
that's what it felt like, because it's like, oh my god, you know, because you can watch, it's another thing that you can watch on video a million times, but until you see them run in person, it's like, oh my gosh, how does anyone ever stop that?
Yeah, And that was the two things that stood out to me most about the game that were in the positive category. And, you know, I think that's kind of the way that you can view these is you can look at it. Okay, what was the positives? What were maybe the negatives? But Sané's ability was by far, I think, my number one positive. And it, I've seen this, you know, put out there on social media a lot, and I kind of agree with it now, where the fact he did not play in the World Cup may actually be a blessing for City because his legs were fresh and they looked it on that field.
Yeah, I think it's going to help them immensely because, especially the way Germany's campaign went, frankly, I think it has actually increased his stature in the game. Even if I truly don't know if he would have helped them. I think they could have used someone with his skill set, but, you know, I don't know that one guy would have turned around that entire German World Cup campaign anyway, in any meaningful way anyway. But I think it has elevated his stature just by the fact that he wasn't involved, and a lot of people now agree he should have been involved, and that can suddenly do a lot for someone just by virtue of doing nothing, basically, because it makes you look better and more important by comparison. So I think that's elevated him beyond the obvious fact that he's going to be fresh, and I think he's going to be motivated because he seems to be taking this the right way in that he could have sulked and he could have, you know, handled everything the wrong way. But instead, he's, you know, this is a guy who has one, at least probably one or two more, as long as everything goes well. He'll be in another World Cup. He'll be in probably two more World Cups at least. So I think he knows that, and I think that he's, you know, his reaction more or less, your loss, I'm going to show you what you missed, and that can only benefit us as a club. Because if you have a guy, and not to mention the fact that Mahrez looks like a direct competitor for playing time, so he has all the more reason to be a little bit incentivized to play well this season. Because I think the one thing with Leroy Sané that hasn't quite come yet, beside the physical talent, which is still going to get better, as well as the mental side of his game, which is all still going to get better because he's still so young, is the fact that, and this is common with players his age, he's still really inconsistent because one week, you know, he'll look like the best player on the pitch, and then the next 2 weeks he will look completely anonymous, and then he'll play three more blindingly brilliant games in a row, and he goes back and forth. Like I said, that's common for a guy his age. He's, what, 22, 20-something ridiculous?
I think 22. I think he's turning 23 sometime soon.
23 next January, so yeah.
Okay, next January.
So yeah, he's, you know, it's not uncommon for... if you're expecting a 22-year-old to walk in and be the consistent star of your team, you're probably going to end up a bit disappointed, but he can absolutely take over games, which he has done. So I think that consistency is going to be the last thing that comes, and once it does come, I think you're looking at I'll just say it, you're looking at a potential Ballon d'Or candidate when that comes together. Just watching him, because in a game like that, you just sort of like feed hungrily on any scraps of quality that you get out of it. Him and Mahrez stood out for me. Mahrez wasn't always involved, but when he was involved, he looked very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is kind of my second positive, which you touched on, was Mahrez and his ability. And I think the positives that Mahrez showed on the field kind of allowed Pep to do some creative things, specifically against the Liverpool and then later on against Bayern Munich, where he deployed Sané in particular. So I think we can come back around to that later on once you start talking about those games, which we were not at. We watched those on TV, but, you know, we'll still touch on them. Kind of refocusing on the Borussia Dortmund game, I think one of the kind of things that stood out to me on the negative side, though, was that the young defenders, I don't think any of them are quite there to really push for first team playing time consistently. I think the one name that most people were looking to see how he would perform is Zinchenko, and it's kind of always been my opinion that he's just playing out of position at left back, it's pretty clear that he wants to be in the middle of the field. He's a much more attacking player. And watching him go up against Christian Pulisic, however you actually pronounce that kid's name, you know, Pulisic roasted him at least twice in that game and really made life difficult for him. So I think Zinchenko's kind of he still is a question mark on the defensive end. You know, did anything stand out about that to you, man?
Yeah, he got destroyed by Pulisic, honestly. And Zinchenko's a guy that I'm not sure what his best position is. I don't think it's left back or left wing back or whatever you want to classify it as. But it's I think in the end, Zinchenko might end up being one of those guys that's good enough to be a Premier League player, but not good enough to be a Premier League player for Manchester City.
Yeah.
I think, and given their apparent willingness to sell him for about $16 million this summer, even if it didn't come to fruition, I think is evidence that City kind of feel the same way. You know, what they've been doing lately, just like these guys who are like, oh, I'm not sure they'll make it, sell them, stick in a buyback for later, and make it happen. And I think that they are kind of on the same page there. I think, you know, there's people talking about him for the deep-lying midfield role that Jorginho was supposed to fill, and I'm not sure he's up for that either at the highest levels. I think he's a good player. I think he has some talent, but I'm also just not sure that his long-term future lies with the club. You looked at the defense. There wasn't a ton back there. I thought Eric Garcia was, you know, for a 17-year-old, good, well, but yeah. He's not a guy who I don't think is super close to the first team right now.
Well, I think he's probably, if you had to ask me who I thought would develop into a consistent first teamer, it'd be hard not to pick him. At the age of 17, I mean, that's pretty incredible if you actually think about it.
It is. He held up well. He was the under 18 player of the year at the club last year, and you can see why. I think he has the highest ceiling of anyone who was back there. You know, Denayer wasn't bad, but you can see why he never made it.
Foden was okay.
I don't think either Foden or Diaz were particularly good, and I think part of it was down to what was around them, and part of it was down to it was the first preseason game.
It wasn't necessarily red flags, but at the same time, neither kind of took control like maybe you were hoping to see them as a City fan. But at the same time, it's not like either of them necessarily took something away from the game. It was just kind of meh.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were both much better in the later two preseason games, I thought, as well. So it's just, again, they're 18, 19 years old. You are not going to get a consistently world-beating talent at that age unless you're, you know, playing with someone ridiculous like Mbappe or what have you. But they're just not at that level, and that's okay. Most people aren't, and that doesn't mean that they, you know, they can't be really good players. And I absolutely think that they are the two players that have always stood out to me as having the potential to actually make it at the club and be legitimate first teamers. You know, was I hoping to see a bit more of them? Yeah, of course I was, but it's not the end of the world that I didn't. You have to take in a lot of things into account on. In a game like that, because it's the first game, even if you have played, you know, all kinds of football in your life, playing the first game of preseason is still very much a getting up to speed experience. So it's not something that's going to concern me going forward.
No. And I'm with you, and we'll see how they play in the Community Shield, you know, which is the game coming up on Sunday. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. And really, as far as the rest of the Borussia Dortmund game, I mean, I sent you a text immediately afterwards that said, wow, that was boring.
Yeah, so, it was. I mean, it was. And I, you know, I wasn't expecting the only thing I said was that I hope we score, and we didn't, but whatever.
Yeah.
I did get to see Joe Hart before they sold him. That was interesting, and that was kind of nice in a weird way.
Yeah.
Because he was such a big part of everything up to Pep's arrival, and, you know, a little bit of cheap nostalgia for the masses.
Yeah. Yeah, well, are you good to go on to the Liverpool game
then? Let's talk about, I don't have a ton of reaction to the Liverpool game aside from Mo Salah's really good. Sadio Mane is really good, and I thought that the young players actually acquitted themselves very well against what was a pretty senior heavy Liverpool side. But that's about all you can take from it, I think.
Well, I think Mo Salah is good at scoring offsides goals against Manchester City.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot that was. I mean, it's preseason for the refs too.
Yeah, I know, and they're, you know, it was funny.
I say that, but I'm also not sure it's going to get better. So,
well, you know, it was just odd that everyone complains about VAR, and then on that one instance, it was like, oh, this is why VAR exists for things like this. So that was just interesting.
I think it's one of those you don't know what you've got till it's gone situations.
Exactly. You know, and I'm right there with you, Gray, where I think the number one takeaway from the Liverpool game was Liverpool played, I would call it roughly a C-plus team, you know, C-plus, B-minus in that area, while City played.
It was a League Cup team is what I would call it.
Yeah. So, you know, and they had a good mix of their young players along with some guys that are actually going to see the field for them consistently during the Premier League campaign. And meanwhile, City, again, I think the only guy that you can say is definitely going to see time that started was Riyad Mahrez. Now, when City and Liverpool both brought on their more first-teamers in the second half, I thought that, frankly, I thought that Bernardo Silva, whose name was escaping me there for a second, sorry, everyone, the combination between him and Sané was kind of, I think, a short glimpse as to what Pep may be trying to tinker with during the upcoming season, because once those two players came on, Sané kind of played in that false nine, and I don't recall him playing that at all last year. Raheem Sterling played it every now and then, but I don't recall Sané ever doing it. Would you remember a time?
I don't. And I think it's a sign that Guardiola has made no secret of the fact that he might be employing the 3-5-2 a bit more as long as Mendy's fit, which he wasn't for almost all of last season. Which is going to require them to get creative, because if you're playing three defenders, that sacrifices, in all likelihood, one of the wingers that they had used extensively last season, which mostly Sané and Sterling. Possibly both wingers, if you are using that as an excuse to get Aguero and Jesus on the field at the same time. So that is going to require some creativity on his part as far as the personnel goes, because you have three at the back, which I would assume most of the time is it's going to be some combination of Company, Stones, Otamendi, and Laporte. Your two wing backs are going to be Mendy and Walker, and then that leaves you with five other players. Three in midfield, two of them pick themselves in Silva, David Silva, and De Bruyne. And then I would say a third in Fernandinho. So that's three. Leaves you with two spots to figure out what to do with Aguero, Jesus, Sterling, Sané, Mahrez, Bernardo Silva. You can play him centrally too. But I think that you're going to start. I think that if Guardiola is serious about the 3-5-2, which I think he is, considering he openly wanted to use it more last season, it was just that Mendy's injury prevented him from doing so, then you're going to have to see guys like Sané as a false nine, or Sterling as a false nine, which he's played before, and he played at Liverpool. Mahrez as a false nine. Interesting things like that, I think, are going to happen. And I think that there's going to be a lot of interesting formations this year, and there's going to be some times that some really good players are left out to accommodate that tactical setup. So I'm 100% sure that was a conscious choice, and I do think it was done with that in mind.
Yep. I mean, I completely agree with you. And then another youngster that stood out in Liverpool that I think could, you know, challenge for maybe a spot on some of the cup teams was Luke Bolton, who had one of the highlights of the night when he absolutely roasted Firmino on the sideline and put in a beautiful cross that unfortunately – I forgot who was playing striker. It might have been Nemecha. But the cross was right where it needed to be at the near post, and just no one was there to slot it home. But Bolton really played well against Liverpool, and even in the second game against Bayern as well.
Yeah, he's built. Like, really built. Like, he doesn't look like a winger. Like, the stereotypical winger, that is. He looks like a fullback.
But he's fast.
He's fast. Only 18. That's a guy who, you know, he's got a long way to go, but he's got a couple England under 20 caps already. You know, you can see the raw skills on display there, and that's what you're looking for at that stage of their development. Okay, what do I have to work with, and can we work with it? And I think that the answer there is absolutely there's something to work with. There's real talent there, good right foot. He always stood out. Even in the Dortmund game when nothing was happening, he was still, you know, I think he got nutmegged once or twice. It happens. Life happens. But there was a constant desire to get forward and try to make something happen. And that seems like such a small thing, but it's not really. Because, you know, it would be very easy for someone of his stature, of his young age, in a game like that to just sort of focus on handling the defensive duties and try to leave the creative duties to the more experienced, more attacking players. But no, he's getting up, getting down. I like him. I think there's a future there. I'm not sure, you know. He's got a long way to go, even longer, I think, than some of the other guys that we've talked about here, just by virtue of his age and the fact that he hasn't really been involved in the first team up to this point. But I liked what I saw.
I know
you mentioned Bernardo Silva. I thought he was great in both those last two games. But that, you know, that's about. I don't remember a lot else about the Liverpool game aside from the fact that it was oddly refereed, and
that's putting it lightly.
And as one would expect, our very young defense had a very hard time coping with one of the best forward lines in the world. And I don't really have a problem with that.
No, not at all. I mean, it was kind of funny to see the social media, some crowing going on from Liverpool fans, and it was just kind of like, okay, I don't know why this is happening, but congratulations, you beat our academy team.
I would not have said a word seriously if we'd beaten them, honestly.
No.
I know it's fun for them, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I mean, it was to see Sané just roast Virgil van Dijk was, you know, chicken soup for the soul right there.
Yes.
So,
Let's talk about Bayern, which I think was the most fun game of the preseason.
Oh, by far.
By a long shot. Another game where Bernardo Silva was had his stamp all over everything. I would also say that, you know, it showed the more first team players got involved, the more you could say, oh yeah, we're fine, there they are, no big deal.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was a game where if you only watch the first half, I mean, it was a very strange game because City looked to be the dominant side, especially early on, and then all of a sudden they're down 0-2 because Bayern were clinical on a counterattack that just no one was there to defend across. 1-0.
Arjen Robben is still Arjen Robben.
Exactly. He's got, you know,
Despite the fact that he's 80 years old.
At least. And, you know, Bayern were just more clinical, and so that's kind of been, I think, sometimes a criticism of some of the Pep teams that try to focus so much on possession is possession's great, but you have to do something with it. And if you don't, you can face what happened to the team against Bayern, where they were playing better but were down 2-0. The goal right before halftime, I felt, was a big time kind of relief to everybody. I think that the fact that they were only down 2-1 at that half kind of showed that there was a reward for how they played. And then in the second half, it was just the Bernardo Silva show, which, wow, he's really showing what type of player he can be. And to see him in that midfield role, I think that's where he needs to stay. I don't like him out on the wings. I think you put him in the inside and let him be molded and learn from David Silva.
Yeah, and I think that is the position that he will ultimately end up occupying once the other Silva inevitably moves on, which is probably coming within 2 or 3 years, much as we hate to admit it. But yeah, I mean, the guy was great at Monaco. He was a huge part of a title-winning squad. And it does, you know, for all the jokes about the French league, it does take some doing to beat PSG to the title, which they did so. You are looking at a player who is very accomplished, has a ton of talent. He's still young. That's a guy who's, get the exact age, he's still 23.
I think Bernardo's 23.
He's 23. He turns 24 a week from today.
Okay.
So that's, I think he seems like a guy who should be older than that, but he's not. And the upside is there for all to see. He's just an outstanding player. He can do so many things. He's very creative. He can score goals. He scored some big goals for the club last year. He scored the only goal against Chelsea in the home game at the Etihad. So that's a player who's going to be a huge part of the future. And there was a settling in process last year, as there inevitably is going to be for new signings, especially when they're entering a new league. It took him a while. There was so much talent that he had a hard time getting a look in for a while, which is, you know, inevitably going to happen on a team like that. You have to earn your way into the 11. But once he got the chance to play, he showed what he can do. And I think that, you know, we're entering year two. He has settled in. He knows the style of play. He knows what is expected of him, his role, his teammates. And I think that with the lack of changes at City this summer, there's two ways to look at it. You can say, oh, it might get stale, but I think more likely is that these players already are all on the same page. There's not going to be much of a betting in process, except for Mahrez, the only new signing to this point, and I think will probably end up being the only new signing. So I think you're going to see things like that, where you have these guys who came in last year or what have you, have gotten here to settle, and they've gotten here to get to grips with Guardiola's demands of them, which is not an easy thing to do. And now that they're there, I think, honestly, we will see some improvements this year from last year's summer signings, and I think Bernardo Silva is going to be the poster boy for that.
I mean, yeah, he's my leader right now for biggest jump from last year to this year. And I know probably Leroy Sané is in that list for a lot of people, but to me, I think because Sané played so well last year, I think even if he takes it up another level, it won't be as large of a jump as we could potentially see in Bernardo, where he went from not really being a first-team selection all the time to, I think this year, he's really going to make that case where he needs to be on the team sheet way more often than not. And trying to think, you know, really about that Bayern game, if there was anyone else. I mean, Eric Garcia played well again. I think he was, we've already talked about it, I think he was the most consistent of the young defenders, even at the age of 17. His potential is really out there. It was a scary moment in the first half when Mahrez went down with that ankle injury. I kind of freaked out a little bit just in my home.
Yeah,
I didn't
freak out until I saw him leave on crutches, and I was like, oh, for Pete's sake, you're really going to do this to us?
Yeah.
But looks like he's okay, so.
Yeah, and that was a big positive, is everything looks to be, I thought like it came out all right, so that was good. I think overall it was a pretty successful preseason campaign, as much as you can during a World Cup year. City did not suffer any major injuries. It wasn't as if they got flat out embarrassed in any game like a certain other team from Manchester did during at least one of their preseason games in the U.S. So,
I wouldn't pay to watch your games either, Jose.
Yeah, no doubt. I would ask for money back. You couldn't pay me.
I could spend a half hour psychoanalyzing Jose Mourinho's preseason behavior. I'm not going to
lie. Oh, my God. It is out there. But, I just think that overall, you know, it's I'm ready for the season to begin. I feel that the players are. I feel like the coaches are. And we'll see how they do in the Community Shield, which is, like we said, coming up on Sunday. Have any inclinations on that one, Gray? Any kind of feelings on where the other?
I'm not particularly expecting much. I have no idea who's going to play. Chelsea already looked like a sorry ball team. I honestly think they might win it, just because of the fact that they are going to be a little bit more close to full strength. It's another thing you can't draw a lot from. The City, I believe, have lost their last two times in this competition, mostly because they played under strength squads.
Who cares?
Yeah, I genuinely, no one's... The Community Shield is one of those trophies that it counts as a trophy if you win it, but if you lose, it doesn't.
Basically. And even then, I mean, if City do not win another major trophy, I mean, even the FA Cup, if City do somehow win the Community Shield and that's their only trophy, that's not a successful season.
No one goes into the season with the goal of winning the Community Shield.
No.
So if they win it, great. I'm never going to complain about City winning a trophy, real or imagined. But it's not, you know, I don't know who's going to play. I expect that we will see a very unique mixture of some of the more experienced senior players and some youth guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you may see like Emmerich, Laporte maybe in there. I really don't know who else would start at center back alongside of him. I think you will see Zinchenko on the wing again. I think Sané may actually start. I don't think he started a single game in the U.S. I think he came off the bench for all of them.
I don't think so.
Same thing with Bernardo Silva. I think he came off the bench. But I think those two may start. Maybe Gabriel Jesus will play at striker. I think he joined the team. They announced that he did sign his new contract through 2023.
Yep. Almost all the big pieces signed up for long term. I think Sterling and Sané are the only ones still outstanding there,
which
is great news.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about either of those. I think
I'm not either. There's been a lot of noise about Sterling's contract. I suspect some of it is his agent making noise, and some of it is, you know, I think there's some negotiating going on through the press. But in a situation like this, when the club want you to stay and the player has shown no inclination of wanting to leave, when that's mutually agreed upon, these things usually get done. So
yeah, and even then, I mean, if for whatever reason it does not get done, if that's just a worst case scenario, I don't see this being like a Yaya Toure situation where there's some messy breakup there. I think, you know, I don't see any reason why Sterling would leave, but even if he did, I think the club would kind of wish him well and everyone would move on to the next phase.
So, that's honestly, we'll see how it goes. I'm not expecting much. I just hope for a good game and no one gets hurt.
Yes, that's the number one thing. Just trying to get to the first week of the actual Premier League season when the games really officially count.
Yep, that's about all I have. We have good preseason. Really enjoyed going to the game. So unless you have anything to add here.
I do not. Just, you know, for all the people listening, we will try to get more regular with the podcasts. At some point in time, we will try to set down a full schedule. And, you know, unfortunately, one of the members of our trio, Josh, he does have some medical things that have popped up.
Josh has a lot going on all the time.
Yeah. He does, and, you know, and I'm certainly very busy. Gray is certainly busy.
Ohio State University
labor of love
placing head
this podcast. That's why we do not ask for any sort of, you know, Patreon or anything like that, because, I mean, it's not the purpose is not for that. We just want to talk about Manchester City and hopefully have a couple dozen people that enjoy hearing us do it.
Pretty much. So, once the season's underway, I expect things will be a bit more regular, and the season is about to get underway. It seems like such a short summer. But
Yes. Thank you, EPL, for starting 2 weeks before everybody else.
Thanks. Can't have that winter break, though, at least not the way everybody else does.
No. Nope.
So, for John, I'm Gray. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the game, everyone, and I'm sure we'll some iteration of us will be back next week to talk about how we preview the actual meaningful season. So, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again soon. I'm Gray. That's John. This has been the American Citizen Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at AmericaCitizens. Search us on iTunes as well. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.